The government buys, contractors sell. It's a simple model, except when it isn't. Sometimes the government competes with industry. So says the Business Coalition for Fair Competition. They say the government does some things itself that it ought to buy from companies. Here with more is John Palatiello, president of the BCFC. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right,
good
so morning, you have a, you've got a list now of what you call the 10 most egregious examples of unfair government competition that took place over the past year. Tell us what you mean by that concept, and then we'll get into some of the specifics.
Well, Tom, the concept is that there's a pretty clear line between what is commercial in nature and what is inherently governmental in nature. Commercial nature being that it lends itself to contracting. It's things you can find in the yellow pages. It's activities that the government probably should not be involved in terms of directly providing it. Inherently governmental are those things that only the government can or should do. And while that seems to be a pretty clearly defined and understood delineation, what we pointed out was 10 of the most egregious examples of where the government was involved in a commercial activity during 2013, and there was some attention in the news media or otherwise to the performance of those commercial activities within the government.
So give us some examples so we know what you're talking about.
Well, one that's been around for a long time are the commissaries in the Department of Defense. The newsworthiness of this is in 2013 is, first of all, that Senator Coburn has pointed out the his concern about this, and that the Department of Defense in the latter part of the year indicated that they themselves are now going to review the commissary system because there is a subsidy of about $1.3 billion. And with sequestration and the requirement to make cuts, it's reasonable to question whether DOD should be in the grocery store business, particularly on the domestic front. And then there are movie theaters that the Defense Department is operating that's costing the taxpayers money. And again, DOD is even reviewing and questioning whether this is a line of business it should be in. NASA is in the movie business. They actually have a production studio that's competing with a private company in New Orleans. We had a, I think...
Is that where they filmed the moon landing? No, just kidding.
We had another, I think, humorous episode during the year with a rulemaking that was put out by the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, of the Department of Agriculture, where for the first time they defined the term urban rodent control. And that means that they will now limit their competition with private pest management companies in urban areas with regard to the eradication of rats and mice and chipmunks and squirrels and the like. Again, in urban America, why is the Department of Agriculture competing with private pest control firms? So those are just a couple of examples of the somewhat egregious instances of government competition that we identified during the past year.
And is there actually a definition of what is inherently governmental?
Yes, there is. And in fact, the administration has published in its 2014 regulatory agenda that it is going to be revisiting that. The term is defined. It had been in Office of Federal Procurement Policy documents in a policy letter for a number of years, and then it was actually enacted and codified by Congress in 1998 as part of the FAIR Act, the Federal Activities Inventory Reform Act. So there is a statutory definition of what is inherently governmental.
All right, so that's true, and it was a effort of the early on in the Obama administration to tighten up that definition and tighten up compliance with it so that partly, I guess, on behalf of the federal unions, so that, because they felt that too much inherently government was being done by contractors, hard to say. But
well,
now that you've – yeah, go ahead.
Well, and that's one point of view. We would argue that the administration did not tighten up, but in fact broadened the definition of what is inherently governmental and created a buffer zone around what is inherently governmental and encouraged the encroachment of the government into the private sector. And, of course, that brought on the phenomenon of insourcing. And I understand our friends in the government employee unions believed that the Bush administration was contracting out things that were inherently governmental in nature. But in fact, under insourcing, what has come back into the government without any cost comparison, without any analysis, are clearly commercial activities. We've seen things like food service and mapping and audiovisual services. No serious observer of the process would consider those inherently governmental, but yet those have been insourced.
And anecdotally, when I've talked to people within government about particular programs and why they brought them in-house, they always do say when they do the math, it turns out to be cheaper than the going outside. But is there a standard cost analysis that is supposed to go on no matter what type of program it is?
There is, and that's OMB Circular A76. And the problem with insourcing is twofold, Emily. Number one, there was some litigation. There was a company that went to court, and when their attorneys asked the government to produce their cost analysis, the government settled and reinstated the contract. That's the problem, is the cost analysis is not being conducted, and a reverse A76, if I can use that term, is not being performed. So you do a cost analysis under A76 if you go from government performance to contractor performance, but what was not occurring was doing a cost analysis to go from contractor performance to bring something back inside the government.
We're speaking with John Palatiello. He's president of the Business Coalition for Fair Competition. And, yeah, the suspension of A76, which happened several years ago, seemed to have changed all of this. Do you see a growth in insourcing that you can attribute to that suspension of A76 competitions?
Definitely. I think that's definitely a factor. And I think the suspension of A76 is really starting to wreak havoc within the government. Number one, when you look at things like commissaries that I mentioned previously, I would think that the government employees unions would want to see an A76 performed rather than just a wholesale closing of that system and a riff of the government employees. You know, when you have sequestration on one hand, and then you put a handcuff on the agencies on the other hand and say, but you can't look for efficiencies, you can't achieve the targets of sequestration by becoming more efficient, then that's an untenable situation. You know, I remember my old friend John Sturtevant, who was the president of the AFGE back in the 1990s, and he testified before Congress and said federal employees are not afraid of competition, that if federal employees cannot provide services better, faster, and cheaper than private sector competition, then the federal employees don't deserve to do the work in the first place. And I would hope that that is an approach that we can revisit in this climate and lift that moratorium on A76.
John, I just have a sort of a two-part question for you. What are the government contractors, the industries that you represent at the Business Coalition for Fair Competition?
It's a variety of different groups. We have both trade associations and small, mid-level, and large firms. They range from high tech and professional services to blue collar. It's everything from motor coach and buses and transportation to IT and software, mapping and GIS, construction. Our members really are part of a very wide and broad spectrum of firms that that provide a variety of different products and services.
And you've already mentioned that there are several regulations being rewritten, several policies that are being rethought this year. Where are you telling your members to focus their energies to say that this is a problem for them?
Well, our members are focusing their energies on a number of fronts. We do become engaged very actively on the regulatory side. Excuse me. our members will get involved, whether it's administratively or actually legally, on individual activities and contract actions. And we're also very active in talking to Congress and trying to make sure that members are aware of this issue and hopefully passing good legislation that attempts to address it.
John Palatiello is the president of the Business Coalition for Fair Competition. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.